11:15 here on The Big Debate. Good morning, everybody. So, my next guest written a new book, can be seen as controversial. It's about four Asian boys accused of sexually assaulting a disabled white teenage girl. But who is telling the truth? It's called Take It Back. It's by Kier Abdullah. Kier's here right now in the studio. And it is, honestly, it's about that, but also about so much more as well. It deals with issues such as how rape victims might be doubted, stereotypes of Asian men, politics of race, and how things can just explode out of nowhere very quickly. And I'm really looking forward to talking to Kier about it. So, well done, first of all. Brilliant read. Thanks for coming on to the programme. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very well. Yeah, I'm so excited about it coming out. It's coming out on Thursday, so we're very close.
Excellent. Yeah, so, I mean, I know I mentioned a few issues that are dealt with in the book there, but in your words, tell me, what's the book about?
Sure. So, as you said, it's about a girl, Jodie. She's 16, she's disabled, she's white, who accuses four classmates of rape. The boys are from Bangladeshi and Pakistani backgrounds, so immediately that draws the attention of the press and the public. Mm-hmm. And then Zara, who's an ex-barrister, gets involved. She's a rape counsellor and she takes on Jodie's case.
She's also Muslim.
She's Muslim, so that creates a tension, because what you have is a lot of kind of Muslim tribalism where they think that she's basically acting like a traitor by pitching her loyalties with Jodie as opposed to the four Muslim boys. And so together, Zara and Jodie enter the most explosive criminal trial of the year and exposing ugly divisions within British society. Mm. And I'm glad you picked up on the fact that, you know, it is issue-led, because I've had people say to me, you know, it's not the normal sort of book I'd read. It's a courtroom drama. It's very genre. But then when they read it, they think, wow, it has got a lot more issues and a depth to it. So, yeah, I'm glad you picked up on that. Thank you.
Shows I read it, I suppose. But, there's so much to actually unpack in this. Let's talk about sexual crimes first, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Women, in your opinion, still not believed? I mean, it's in a perverse way quite timely, because there's a story at the moment in the news, isn't there, about something that's going on in Ayanapa, I think it is. Don't want to go too much into that story, but in terms of sexual crimes and women's, whether they're believed or not, what are your thoughts?
I mean, look, there's an inherent tension there, isn't there? Because with any other crime, if you have your bag snatched, people don't, the position isn't, oh, you did not have your bag snatched, so you're lying. Whereas with rape, because there are two people involved, and it's a crime that's very difficult to prove because it happens behind closed doors. That said, I do think the British legal system is, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty, and it has to be that way. And so obviously that is an area that will have inherent conflict, which is what drew me to the storyline in the first place, because how do you explore this in a sensitive way where you're being sensitive to the victim, but you're also being sensitive to the boys who may or may not be guilty?
Well, that was exactly what I was going to ask next, really. I mean, do you think that innocent until proven guilty, which is a fundamental and should always remain so, but does it help the victims of sexual assault here?
I can see, obviously, it doesn't. You know, mentally, for them to enter a courtroom and come from a position where the default here is that I'm lying until I prove that I'm not. And so that's difficult. And of course, I started writing the book before the kind of Me Too revolution, but I still think it's a legitimate question to ask in fiction, you know, who's telling the truth? Because it is asked in real life, you know, not just by our legal system, but by thousands of people on social media, by colleagues at the water cooler. I'm not saying that's right, but that's true. And I don't think there's any point in writing fiction if it's a sanitized, anodyne version of reality. I think the role of fiction is to interrogate difficult issues. And the key to tackling in a subject like this, if you're going to write about it, is to make sure that you're writing complex characters who are nuanced and not just as caricatures, just to propel a story forward. And so if readers can empathise with your victim and your perpetrators and put them in their shoes and empathise with them, then you've done your job as a writer of fiction.
See, one of the main tensions in this is really well summed up in one line. I think it was something like, this is about rape, not race. Can you explain that more?
Yeah, well, I think the book has lots of issues. You know, it's a maelstrom of issues because the race issue is used by the media. And obviously with the grooming cases that we've seen up north, the immediate position of the media and certain quarters of the wider public would be they're Asian. And so they're bred to think that way. You know, they're bred to look at white girls in a certain way. And I wanted to interrogate that, but also to highlight the fact that it is separate from the core crime that's happened here, which is a sexual assault. And she happens to be white. And so it was just a really good situation to explore all this intersect.
It was cringy for me to listen and to read as well, and uncomfortable at certain points, being an Asian man. And I'm not going to lie, we do get a bit of a tough time in the book.
You do.
Do you think there's a problem with how Asian men first view, treat women, but then also how we're perceived?
I think it's difficult because there's also a character in the book called Safran, who is kind of Zara's best friend, and he's also Muslim. And people often say to me, you know, the book portrays people, Muslims, in quite a poor light. And they forget that, well, Zara is Muslim too, and so is Safran. But because they don't fit the mental model of what a Muslim is, because Zara does drink, you know, she is westernized, she does dress in a certain way that people may not think is modest or fit the idea of a typical Muslim woman, but she is Muslim. And so I was talking to the A.A. Dahn, the writer of crime novel set in Bradford, and he's gotten a lot of blowback saying, you know, your books are very negative about Sikhs. And the central hero of his book is Sikh. And so it's very difficult because he's not wearing a turban and doesn't have a long beard. People don't see him as Sikh. But I would argue and say, well, you know, there is a positive Muslim male in there too. That said,
but he drinks though as well. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but then it is interesting that the two sort of moderate, or the ones that are seeking justice, seem to be ones who
are more westernised.
Are colouring outside the line. I'm not saying more westernised, because I believe, you know, but like colouring outside the lines of what, you know, mainstream Muslim communities feel that they should be
doing. But would you say that the four Muslim boys do as well? Because I wouldn't say that they're models of, you know, Muslim purity either. And so that's another thing I wanted to explore in the novel, because for a long time I've felt outside of the Muslim community because I maybe, like you said, colour outside the lines. You know, I dress in a certain way that people may not, you know, I haven't got tights on today, I'm in a dress. People might say, you know, that she's not dressed modestly. And I just wanted to interrogate that. Can you still call yourself a Muslim? And if not, then where does that leave the many, many Muslims I know who do drink and who do have sex outside marriage and all the other things? We're not a homogenous entity, and that's another message of the book.
Yeah. See, that's something, listeners, if you're listening now, what are your thoughts on this? Is there a pressure on you to be a certain way of your faith or your background, and that's the only way that you can be a Muslim, or only one way that you can be a Sikh? Get in touch. Have you ever felt that pressure? 81869. Because that was the surprising understory of this. It's clearly Zara's, not, you know, it's her B story really, but it's a really good story in that sense of, like, whether you're turning back on your own. I mean, she is the protagonist, you know, she's trying to fight for justice on the side of the victim, but, you know, other characters say, why are you going against your own? You know, she's called quite nasty names, and also she's a bit of an outsider as well. Tell us a little bit about that conflict there.
So there's a scene in the book where I think is the crux of that conflict, where she bumps into a university friend of hers who, when she knew him, was very kind of liberal, used to go out drinking, asked her to convince his girlfriend to have an abortion and all sorts. And so when she bumps into him, she just expects it to be the same old guy that she knew from university and goes to hug him. And he's reacts very strongly against her because she's allying herself with Jodie against these four Muslim boys, and says, you know, you're a traitor and so on. And I've said before, I wish that Muslim people my age came with a sort of barometer where you can measure how liberal they are. I remember being invited to a party, and my boyfriend of 10 years, I'm not married, is white. And I said to my friend, I'm not sure about bringing along my white boyfriend because this Muslim guy will be there. And she said, oh, he's not Muslim, he's an atheist now. And suddenly that made me feel really comfortable and thought, oh, okay, I can do that. And I think that's a really ugly thing, to feel that I have to hide something about myself because I'm scared that there's going to be another Muslim person judging me.
Why do you think that is the case?
Because we are brought up to adhere to a very strict code of conduct. And that breeds a sense of being judgmental. I remember at university, I had male friends, but then when I came to fast at Ramadan, somebody called me a part-time Muslim. And that was really offensive. And it just made me think, well, if I have to be either with you or against you, that's a really stark dichotomy. Mm. I think there is room for, you know, shades of grey. And again, coming back to another party I was at, I was quite shocked to see a Muslim girl drinking. And she said, I'm 30 years old. You know, it's a bit ridiculous to not drink because God told me to. And so there are so many different people on this spectrum of religion, from the very devout, you know, who wear a niqab and so on, to the people who drink and can reconcile that with their faith.
Do you think attitudes are changing?
That's difficult to say.
Mm.
Sometimes I think they are, but sometimes I'm knocked for six. Like my older sister said last year, if one of her kids married a non-Bengali, she wouldn't talk to them anymore. And I don't know how seriously she meant that. You know, later on she said, no, of course, you know, I would. But the fact that she still took exception to that, you know, she's a very modern, progressive person. Mm. And
well, she's not here to obviously
exactly.
say what she, what,
no.
if it was a joke or not. So.
No.
But it is difficult, isn't it, though? What you said there about, you know, the with us or against us sort of in or out mm-hmm. thing, that's difficult, though, isn't it? Because this is a time when it feels like minorities, Muslims, feel like they are under attack, literally, from all sides. The instinct is to withdraw, to protect one another, to sort of, you know, as your characters in this book do, you know, try and protect one of their own. So
absolutely.
And can you understand where
I do.
From?
You know, and I have... largely the feedback from the Muslim community has been positive. You know, I had an early reader, she really loved it. Two people quoted on the back cover are Muslims. And so they understand the kind of necessity to discuss issues like that. Equally, I did have a Muslim girl stand up at a literary festival and say, I'm not, you know, I'm really angry because you're telling a negative story, another negative story about Muslim people. And I sought her out after my panel to try to explain to her that the whole point of the novel is to show that we're not this malevolent entity presented in the media. You know, we're not a homogenous mass. We are individuals and we do good things and we do bad things because we choose to do them as individuals. But she just took a very visceral reaction and said, you know, I'm not going to read it. It's just another negative story. And, you know, that made me sad. But I do think you kind of forfeit your right to critique a work if you refuse to engage with it. And so I think read it, make your own judgment, and then we can talk.
Yeah, it's interesting. And that's what I've done. That's why I'm talking to you about it. And I mean, yeah, because...
But what
there
you said about kind of hunkering down and basically defending your tribe, I think that's a really interesting point. And it doesn't apply just to Muslims. Like in a time where we're seeing so much radicalism from the right, I think the pressure and the rise of things like cancel culture and self-censorship and hyper-wokeness have come from the fact that we're seeing all this radicalism on the right. There's more pressure on us on the left to be more careful about what we're saying and I think that presents a danger of its own.
Mm-hmm. So the book itself, I don't want to give too much away
sure.
in it, but one of the other things that comes out in it is the fact that there is a level of threat that comes, and there is a level of political engagement and threat that comes from issues that go into the media as well. It's like, you know, things are on a ticking time bomb, effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you wanted to play on? Because that is very timely now. You know, we've had, sadly, attacks and sadly a murder as well on, you know, on political basis happening because people don't agree or that they see something and they don't exactly know it, understand it. Where do you think this comes from? Can we actually change this?
Oh, God, I'd be the president of the world if I could solve that problem. But look, we are living in polarised times, but I think this is why fiction is so important, and because there are things you can't say in real life that you can say in fiction and you can interrogate. And so with, you know, we've got amazing writers out at the moment, you know, in our Mad and Furious City, like so many good books coming out that tackle all these issues and tackle this conflict. I just think dialogue... And, you know, it's difficult for me to say because I come from quite an insular Bangladeshi community in East London. My mum's never dined with a white person, even though she's lived in this country for 40 years or so. And so just opening yourself up to new experiences and talking to different people. But I don't know the way out of this kind of quagmire we're in at the moment in terms of the media and how they frame narratives of certain people. You know, in the book, the media does pick up on the fact that these four boys are Muslim and ask the question, have they done this because they're Muslim? And that's a quite an interesting question, because obviously the answer is no. And any person who will interrogate the question in an intellectual way will arrive at that conclusion. But the tabloid media are very different, and they play on fears and they play on prejudice.
I could talk to you about this all day, not just the book, but some of the issues that it raises, but we're nearly out of time. But yeah, tell us plans for more books in the future. What's happening
now?
Yes,
so I'm currently writing a second book. This Take It Back wasn't written as the first in a series, but my publishers loved Zara, so they said, look, can we keep her but do a different court case? So there is another one on its way next year, but Take It Back comes out on Thursday, and I guess just go out and read it. Like, if you want to support people of colour, support writers of colour, please do go out and buy it.
Okay, thank you very much. 11:31 here on The Big Debate. As Kia was saying, Kia Abdullah there, the novel Take It Back is out on Thursday. So definitely check it out if it sounds like something that you would like to engage with. It's 11:31 here on The Big Debate.